Today is the 9th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we gather yet again around the global campfire. And we gather for a reason. We gather to take the next step forward together. And I'm referring to the next step forward in the Bible, since we're here at the Daily Audio Bible. That next step leads us back into the book of 1 Kings, where we are understanding Solomon, King Solomon's reign. Today, 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6. When Hiram, king of Tyre, heard that Solomon had been anointed king to succeed his father David, he sent his envoys to Solomon, because he had always been on friendly terms with David. Solomon sent back this message to Hiram: "You know that because of the wars waged against my father David from all sides, he could not build a temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord put his enemies under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster. I intend, therefore, to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David when he said, 'Your son, whom I will put on the throne in your place, will build the temple for my name.' So give orders that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. My men will work with yours, and I will pay you for your men whatever wages you set. You know that we have no one so skilled in felling timber as the Sidonians.' When Hiram heard Solomon's message, he was greatly pleased and said, 'Praise be to the Lord today, for he has given David a wise son to rule over this great nation.' So Hiram sent word to Solomon, 'I have received the message you sent me and will do all you want in providing the cedar and juniper logs. My men will haul them down from Lebanon to the Mediterranean Sea, and I will float them as rafts by sea to the place you specify. There I will separate them and you can take them away. And you are to grant my wish by providing food for my royal household.' In this way, Hiram kept Solomon supplied with all the cedars and juniper logs he wanted. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, in addition to 20,000 baths of pressed olive oil. Solomon continued to do this for Hiram year after year. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom, just as he had promised him. There were peaceful relations between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. King Solomon conscripted laborers from all Israel, 30,000 men. He sent them off to Lebanon in shifts of 10,000 a month, so that they spent 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 70,000 carriers and 80,000 stonecutters in the hills, as well as 3,300 foremen who supervised the project and directed the workers. At the king's command, they removed from the quarry large blocks of high-grade stone to provide a foundation of dressed stone for the temple. The craftsmen of Solomon and Hiram and workers from Byblos cut and prepared the timber and stone for the building of the temple. In the 418th year after the Israelites came out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord. The temple that King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits long, 20 wide, and 30 high. The portico at the front of the main hall of the temple extended the width of the temple, that is, 20 cubits, and projected 10 cubits from the front of the temple. He made narrow windows high up in the temple walls. Against the walls of the main hall and inner sanctuary, he built a structure around the building, in which there were side rooms. The lowest floor was 5 cubits wide, the middle floor 6 cubits, and the third floor 7. He made offset ledges around the outside of the temple so that nothing would be inserted into the temple walls. In building the temple, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used, and no hammer, chisel, or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was being built. The entrance to the lowest floor was on the south side of the temple. A stairway led up to the middle level, and from there to the third. So he built the temple and completed it, roofing it with beams and cedar planks. And he built the side rooms all along the temple. The height of each was 5 cubits, and they were attached to the temple by beams of cedar. The word of the Lord came to Solomon. As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David your father. And I will live among the Israelites and will not abandon my people, Israel. So Solomon built the temple and completed it. He lined its interior walls with cedar boards, paneling them from the floor of the temple to the ceiling, and covered the floor of the temple with planks of juniper. He partitioned off 20 cubits at the rear of the temple with cedar boards from floor to ceiling to form within the temple an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. The main hall in front of this room was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with gourds and open flowers. Everything was cedar. No stone was to be seen. He prepared the inner sanctuary within the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 wide, and 20 high. He overlaid the inside with pure gold, and he also overlaid the altar of cedar. Solomon covered the inside of the temple with pure gold, and he extended gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary, which was overlaid with gold. So he overlaid the whole interior with gold. He also overlaid with gold the altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary. For the inner sanctuary, he made a pair of cherubim out of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. One wing of the first cherub was 5 cubits long, and the other wing 5 cubits. 10 cubits from wingtip to wingtip. The second cherub also measured 10 cubits, for the two cherubim were identical in size and shape. The height of each cherub was 10 cubits. He placed the cherubim inside the innermost room of the temple, with their wings spread out. The wing of one cherub touched one wall, while the wing of the other touched the other wall, and their wings touched each other in the middle of the room. He overlaid the cherubim with gold. On the walls all around the temple, in both the inner and outer rooms, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He also covered the floors of both the inner and outer rooms of the temple with gold. For the entrance to the inner sanctuary, he made doors out of olive wood that were 1/5 of the width of the sanctuary. And on the 2 olive wood doors, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid the cherubim and palm trees with hammered gold. In the same way, for the entrance to the main hall, he made door frames out of olive wood that were 1/4 of the width of the hall. He also made 2 doors out of juniper wood, each having 2 leaves that turned in sockets. He carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers on them, and overlaid them with gold hammered evenly over the carvings. And he built the inner courtyard of 3 courses of dressed stone and 1 course of trimmed cedar beams. The foundation of the temple of the Lord was laid in the 4th year, in the month of Ziv. In the 11th year, in the month of Bul, the 8th month, the temple was finished in all its details, according to its specifications. He had spent 7 years building it. Acts 7:1-29. Then the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these charges true?" To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. 'Leave your country and your people,' God said, 'and go to the land I will show you.' So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves,' God said. 'And afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place.' Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our ancestors could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our forefathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our ancestors died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?' But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Psalm 127, A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Proverbs 16, 28 through 30. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. Whoever winks with their eye is plotting perversity. Whoever purses their lips is bent on evil. Okay, so we have a couple of things going on both in Old and New Testaments so that we stay in the stories as we're moving through them. So in 1 Kings, we are learning of King Solomon and his reign and his governance and how he established things and how he put rulers under him and how he had peace on every side. And he has decided now to build the temple of God, something his father David had wanted to do but was prohibited from doing. And so David stored up all kinds of resources in preparation for the building of the temple. And then Solomon got to work. 7 years later, the temple is completed. And now there is this permanent home, this permanent representation of God's presence dwelling among his people. And so this is the first permanent temple built. God had been moving around in the tabernacle, the portable tabernacle, moving around with the children of Israel, and it had made its home for centuries in Shiloh. But now there is this permanent structure in Jerusalem, the temple of the Most High God, giving the people an identity. And this is the first temple built to the Lord God in Jerusalem. And so now when we look back biblically or we look back historically, this is known as Solomon's Temple or the First Temple. Later, during the time of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, he also visited the temple. It's just a different temple. It's known as the Herodian Temple or the Second Temple or the Second Temple period. And before we finish the books of Kings, we'll understand why there needed to be a second temple constructed and that it came quite a bit later. But for now, there's a brand new temple in Jerusalem, a temple to the Most High God and the centerpiece of Solomon's construction. And we flip over into the book of Acts and we're hearing a story being told that sounds like it's a review of everything that we've read since we began the Bible, going all the way back to the book of Genesis and meeting up with Abraham. And what we're reading is actually testimony from somebody who's defending themselves. And so we met this man named Stephen yesterday and we learned about the diaconate and people helping the orphans and the widows and just the way that things were beginning to become structured and spread out as the early church grew. And Stephen was one of these helpers, but he was arrested and he's been brought before the high council and they are charging him with blasphemy. And so in his own defense, he is telling the Hebrew story. And in telling the Hebrew story, he is establishing himself as a Hebrew person who actually knows the story. Who actually knows where they came from. And so he is retelling this to the high council so that they know he has a pedigree and that he is a Jew and that he understands the Hebrew customs and the Hebrew rituals and the Hebrew law. And he's telling this to establish his heritage in defense that he is in no way trying to abolish Moses' teachings and that he is in no way trying to commit blasphemy. He knows who the Lord God is. He knows who he is. He knows who the people are. And so as we listen to Stephen's testimony in his own defense, we have this opportunity to review some of the major stories that we encountered as we've navigated our way until this very day, since the beginning of the year. And so let's enjoy Stephen's testimony over these days. And then lastly, the Psalms, Psalm 127, one of my favorite scriptures, something that I refer back to in my life often. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders or the laborers is in vain. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it isn't going to do any good. I mean, I am kind of a risk-averse person. I'm looking for the problems out in front of me. And there's a nasty little trick in all of that, and that is to get control over things so that you're in control over things, so that you know what's coming and what's not coming. Only I have found that no matter how well prepared a person might be, there's no way to know everything that a day may bring, or a week, or a month, or a year may bring. And so returning back to Psalms 127 and saying, unless the Lord builds the house, the work is wasted. There's something really comforting in there, but something really reassuring in there. And that's because of the pace of the world. Like, we live behind, right? Like, we live literally feeling like if we can't get through this day well, we're going to be behind and we'll never catch up. And so we're running. And then we run right into this psalm that tells us, unless the Lord is building this, this is a waste of time. If God isn't included in what we're doing, if God, through His Holy Spirit, isn't guiding what we're doing, then we're driving ourselves into insanity because our culture is telling us to go faster. But unless the Lord builds the house, going faster is in vain. Unless the Lord is the foundation of the plans and the motivations of our lives, we're wasting our time. And so often when we're told something like that in the scriptures, we can go, yep, okay, I see that. I get that insight. I get that truth. But the converse is true. If the Lord is building the house, if we are collaborating with God in our lives, then nothing is wasted, and we will have rest, shalom, the way things are supposed to be. And so let's just examine our lives today in light of Psalm 127 and invite the Holy Spirit to help us determine which path we're walking. And so, Holy Spirit, come into that. We ask you, we confess, life can be so fast, with obligations so wide. We're so overcommitted to so many things that we can lose ourselves, and we can lose even the direction that we're going in. And then we run into Psalm 127 and are reminded yet again, rest is something that you want us to have. Peace is how we were created to live. Shalom, how things are supposed to be is how things are supposed to be. And we try to arrange for that using our own strength, only to find out that we're laboring in vain. And so come, Holy Spirit, and show us where we're wasting our time and energy, where we're wasting our lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that is where to find out what's going on around here. So check that out. You can do all of the checking out within the Daily Audio Bible app as well, which you can download free from the app store that works with your device. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. I've been mentioning this week, it's ball cap season, so we've put all the snapback Daily Audio Bible hats, including the limited edition camo one, on sale this week. So that's just today and tomorrow. So grab yourself a ball cap for the summer festivities out in front of us. You can see those and check them out in the Daily Audio Bible Shop in the Lifestyle section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. Especially thank you humbly here in the summertime. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. And so thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, this is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. While listening to the DAB community prayer this week, my grief began to surface. This was an old grief, but it was still there, as grief is something that we deal with for the rest of our lives. This grief was for my mother. I lost her when I was 14, a very difficult time in a girl's life to lose a mother. I experienced isolation and depression like I never had before. I felt lost and alone. This affected me for the rest of my life. I had lost the most important person in my life. She was an amazing, wonderful woman. I could not have been blessed with a better mother than the one that I have. I have been listening and hearing prayers due to loss, losses in families. But the common thread is there are children in these families who are experiencing the loss of a mother. Father, I lift up these children to you. I pray your wings around them to comfort them. I pray they seek you in this difficult time. I pray the enemy would not have a hold on them. Lord, keep them on a path to you. I pray their families would pull them close and remember to love on them and be there for them. I pray for them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. I'm Deborah from Killeen, Texas. I just came to tell you that every morning I read a story from the Bible. And I am here to encourage you to keep reading the Bible or Daily Audio Bible if that is more easier for you. God is good. He is always moving and keeps his promises. No matter what you're going through, God will help and guide you. Ask God for guidance and he will guide you. There is surely a future hope for you and your hope will not be cut off. Keep your faith and trust in God, for he is faithful through all things. Don't lose hope. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something.
I come to you, DAB. This is Carpe Diem Driver from Maryland. I come to you seeking your prayers as we all deal with fear and the chains that hold us back from being the best that we possibly can be, Lord God. I ask the community to come together to break these chains of fear. Break the chains, Lord God, of thought, of anxiety. Break those chains and heal that knot in our stomach. Those stones, Lord God. Heal those stones, Lord God. Allow us to face the fear and to do it anyway, knowing that you are with us. Knowing, Lord God, that you are there to guide us, to give us the wisdom, to give us the clarity, Lord God, to allow us to see the truth of these fears. And the truth of these fears is they are lies that the enemy wants us to believe about your love. But your love can conquer all fear. Allow that love to penetrate our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and our spirits, allowing us, when we feel those fears, to give them to you. We allow these fears to be laid at your feet and allow your spirit, Lord God, to give us the wisdom and clarity to face these fears and to do it anyway, because we know that you are with us every step of the way. Release the anxiety. Release the depression. Release that spirit that holds us back from allowing us to be the blessing to this world, to be the light in this world, to be the best that we possibly can be because of you, because we are children of the Most High God.
Hello. I am returning a call. I called way back in December around the holidays. My name was God Is With Me, and it's June. And I just wanted to give a good update. I was the one that called, and I heard prayer requests for me, and I thank you so much. I was the one that called about my son that wanted to take his life. He was 18 years old, 17 at the time when he was saying it, but he turned 18 in January. And he's in the 12th grade, and he is doing so much better. And I remember I heard somebody call and say they had their daughter was in that same predicament. My son told me something that happened to him 10 years ago when he was 7. And it just made him spiral, and his 12th grade year was so tough. And tomorrow he is graduating, and he is so much better. He's doing so much better. Please continue to pray for me and my family. This was a journey I didn't think we were even going to get through 12th grade. And he did well in his school. He's going to college in the fall. And I just pray for continuing prayer for me. And I just pray for those. I listen every day. And I'm so thankful that I have an outlet for someone to hear my voice and my family and pray for us also. I heard the man call about his son that was 24 that took his life. You are in my prayers. I know how hard, I don't know, but I can just imagine how difficult that is. Please pray for our teens and young adults in this world we live in. It's so hard, and it was so hard for me.
First time caller to the prayer line. I want to thank the Daily Audio Bible for offering this opportunity, and my dad for introducing me to Daily Audio Bible. I want to let the woman know who was asking for prayer, who's been hit by a vehicle, had a prosthetic eye placed, had her tibia, fibula shattered, had family members or that had been hit with dementia, that you're being prayed for. God is hearing your prayers, and you're loved. I'm calling today because I myself am a nurse, and I had surgery earlier this year, and I'm out currently on leave. I could be prayed for. I would greatly appreciate it. And also, I'm 40 years old, desperately looking for love, still a godly man to enter my life, wanting children. I have to thank Brian for his unwavering faith in the Lord for the last 18 and a half years. I'm not consistent every day, but this is consistent in my drive to work of over an hour to the hospital. And through COVID, it's helped me stay faithful and believing in what I was doing to help patients on my way to work. Thank you, Brian, and my faith in the Lord. I appreciate you, and I thank you for what you do to serve our community. God bless. Bye-bye.